ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch
out! Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined by Chris, the technician Aceto. It is January 30th, 2012. I just returned from my little vacation from Sedona, Arizona, and the LA Fit Expo out in Los Angeles, California. And Chris, can you believe we're done with January already? I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore, but time is going way too fast. I feel like I'm in an Einstein relativity speed up or something like that, you know?
I would like to get in that Orson Welles time machine you were just talking about before we started up and like backtrack it at least 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
Slow it down. A week is like a minute. A minute is like a second. And here we are, February 1st. We've had spectacular weather in the Northeast all winter long so far.
It
doesn't even feel like winter.
No, I'm sure you got more snow than we have. We haven't even had snow in New York. I think we had like a sprinkle one day. So
We have like 5 inches on the ground, which for Maine is it's nothing.
Yeah, I flew into Sedona, Arizona, because I wanted to go on a vacation and give myself a little time to regenerate, so to speak, before the big season starts up. And I always wanted to go to Sedona. I had taken a yoga class 2 years earlier where they used to go on these retreats to Sedona. I thought they were crazy, but I figured, you know what? I'm so stressed out, you know, with all the stuff that's going on. I'm like, let me go there for a couple of days. It's kind of on the way to L.A. anyway. And I went there, and it was very relaxing. Sedona is known for what they call these energy vortices, okay? Think almost like a whirlpool, a swirling of something, material. And they say coming out of the earth in Sedona is these energy vortexes. And so you feel very at peace, almost, is a good way to put it. And you feel very, your psychic energy that we all possess, you know, our ability to sense, you know, intuition, intuitive type things, and to sense, I guess, things about our life, to sense things about emotions about other people, tend to be enhanced. It's almost like putting a giant, I guess you could say, amplifier on your body. And so you walk around there like with super energy. I wasn't even sleeping that much there. I was sleeping maybe 6 hours, and I was going to bed early, which is a rarity for me. And the first day I was there, I walked into this health food store they have there. It's like where they serve like healthy eating type of thing. And two people came up to me and they said, "Hey, are you new in town?" I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, you want to go to Shaman's cave tomorrow? We're going at 10:30 in the morning. It's a super secret energy vortice where you have higher awareness there. You feel at peace." And I said, "Sure, why not? You know, what do I get? I'm there alone, Chris, right?" So I go with them. We have to drive like, you know, 20 minutes through these dirt roads, which thank God I had to rent a car and not my own personal car because I got kind of beat up. They're driving trucks and I'm driving like a Kia or something like that. It almost didn't make it. We drive to this thing and then we got to hike this trail and climb up these rocks. And while I'm doing this, there's this one girl who says, "You know, I know who you are." Now I'm thinking she's going to probably say I'm a bodybuilder, you know, that kind of thing. So here I am in the middle of Sedona, in the middle of Red Rock country there, you know, trees everywhere and rocks and dirt and climbing. And this girl says she knows me. Now I'm trying to figure out who the hell she is, because I must know who she is if she knows me, right? Because she didn't say she knew of me. She knew me. So I'm looking at her. She's probably about 110 pounds, soaking wet, very skinny girl. Looks like one of these, you know, granola girls, you know, I call them, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
She says to me, I used to work the front desk at the gym you train at every day, which is called Energex. I looked at her closely and I realized that was her. And I realized, what the hell are the odds? She had moved out to Phoenix, I guess, and got married and then whatever, got separated. And she was just also out in Sedona, just like, you know, looking with a bunch of friends, whatever. Isn't that weird?
It's totally weird.
I mean, think about the coincidence of that.
I know.
It's crazy.
How about the fact that, you know, she could she could place you. You know, a lot of times I'll see someone who I think looks like someone, and I'll say, oh, no, that's not them.
I'm one of these guys that when I, even growing up as a kid, you know how like someone could do something and then they can slip into the backdrop? I always got caught doing everything. I must have one of these recognizable faces or something like that, because I can never hide from anything.
Yeah, you can't blend in.
No, I don't blend in. Do you know that I when I was like 25, I was walking in a supermarket, and like my first grade teacher or something like that, she had to be like 90 years old, recognized who I was. I mean, give me a break. I didn't think I looked anything like I did when I was in first grade, you know. She's like, "Are you David Palumbo?" I said, "Yeah, who are you?" She had to be 90. She's like, "I was Mrs. So-and-so, your first grade teacher." I said, "You recognize me?" She's like, "You look exactly the same."
Do you think I guess you do, really, if she can recognize you. 300 pounds later, right? You must have been, what were you at the time?
That wasn't that big. This is 20. I was probably 270, 260. Yeah.
Yeah, 270 versus when
I look like Baby Huey, as my friend Doug would say.
my friend was in Vietnam, and he was telling me he'd always try to blend in. You know, they'd line everyone. He'd always try to like blend in into the middle, because you know these drill sergeants, they'd catch the guys on the end, or they'd just catch people with distinguishing facial features, or. You know, someone who would just kind of stick out, and anyone would eventually stick out. The drill sergeants would just drill them, you know, just be as mean as can be to these guys. So one day they're handing out letters from home, and he says, this guy's name was John Petrelick, and he says, John Petrelick, and he raises his hand from the middle. He said, "That's me." And the drill sergeant says, "Who the heck are you?" You know, he's like, "Who's this guy?" He was so pissed that he didn't recognize him. He just tortured him for the rest of the year. He was just, you know, trying to blend in. Some people can do that, you know.
I don't blend in. You know, you're pretty recognizable, too. You must have the same. I bet you look exactly the same as you did when you were also in first grade. You probably have the same hair.
I do. People always, you know, I have the same big head. I had a big head then. Like the back of my head is big, and I have my hair sticks up. It never mats down, no matter what you put on it.
Good
back.
Hair too. You've always had good hair, probably.
And I have the same big nose.
You're Italian.
So at least since like sixth grade, I'm the same. You know, to some degree, recognizable.
Yeah. Yeah, and you still look like you're in sixth grade too. You still get that young face. You're lucky. So I go on my retreat into Sedona, and. I actually almost don't want to leave. You know, it was so good. I actually went on a hike one day for 6 miles, or six. It was 3.3 miles out and 3.3 miles back. And it's another places where the weird stuff goes on. And I got to tell you, Chris, when I was walking out, we hit about the 2 mile mark. You don't know how, when you're hiking, you don't know how long the trail is. You never know when it's going to end. What happens is the people were coming the other way, and they said, "Oh, it's going to get very cold." So I'm thinking, we're going to be, there's snow on the ground. And meanwhile, we started out, it was 70 degrees. I'm thinking, we're going to have to climb some steep mountains, you know, to get the weather to change so much. I'm telling you, I walked through this little corridor of bushes from point A to point B, literally 12 feet or something like that. It went from 70 degrees to 30 degrees. Like, it was like we walked through a time portal. I don't know. This weird shit goes on in this place. I mean, it's not a normal place. There's a strange phenomena you can't really figure out there. Imagine that.
Well, I'm sure you've been out on your boat in the past where it goes from, you know, you go out a little bit too far and the temperature drops off maybe 15 degrees, like within 10 feet, but nothing like that.
No, that's incredible. It was like going through a Stargate or something like that, you know. I was convinced we were in another dimension or something like that. So that was pretty, it was wild. It was fun. It was relaxing. I'm glad I went. I stayed in a real nice hotel, the Los Abrigados there. If you ever in Sedona, it's a nice hotel. And they actually had a gym in there that was as nice as any gym that, you know, I go to on a regular basis. So I got some good workouts in. I got a massage. And that was it. So I headed off to L.A. on Friday, mm-hmm. and I got in there. Mm-hmm. I met up with Bill Comstock. You know, ironically, isn't this weird? I was staying at the Venice Suites, which I got to just give a plug to. If anyone goes to California, it reminds me of something you do. You go there, and you pick up your key in this like little lockbox. They give you a combination.
Yep.
And you're in. It's like a little room. I was like a one-bedroom suite I had, and I, you know, have a kitchen in there, and they leave like towels and they leave all the soap. You know, kind of like what you do when you rent out your little apartment there. But Chris Minnis got me a great deal on it, and I'm not going to say how much it was, but it was a great deal. I loved it. It was right on Venice Beach, so you walked out the back door of the hotel, and you're, I mean, literally standing on the beach. And Bill Comstock, ironically enough, was the building right next to me. So it was perfect timing. It was a perfect setup. Him and I,
and that's why you're staying for the Flex Pro, right?
Yeah, I'm staying at the same place. You got to come by. You're gonna love it. You should.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was hoping you could buy this hotel, because if you can buy the Venice Suites, then I'll always have a room.
We could do you could do condo timeshares to bodybuilders all over the world.
There's a lot of bodybuilders who stay there. I'm thinking that you and I should go and try to buy this place and invest in it.
Wouldn't it be great? We'd call it it'd be like the RX Muscle Hotel, like when
RX Muscle House, we'll call it, like McDonald's House, for, you know, for the sick kids.
Well, didn't Vince McMahon wanted to have a hotel for the longest time in Vegas?
Oh, he did. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like a WWE hotel.
I heard he wanted a theme hotel. Maybe that was 8 to 10 years ago.
This would be like a boarding house, Chris. You're a mogul. You're like a you're a real estate mogul. Let's get some fundage together and get this Venice Suites. I'm telling you, it's a blockbuster. It's a blockbuster.
Well, I was fired by the moguls from who headed up the LA show last week.
That's right. The LA Fit Expo, Mark Mazurek runs, fired you from Muscle Camp. We don't know why yet.
We should reenact that. Bring him on Heavy Muscle TV show. Bring who can play Mazurek? Maybe who's the crazy guy on the show?
Should we play? Oh, Magnus.
Magnus starring as Mark Mazurek. Chris Aceto starring as himself.
You're fired. Well, like the was a lot of fun, I got to tell you. But I want to just talk about, I went to Gold's Gym on Friday night to work out, and I was disappointed. I don't know if it was off time, because it doesn't have the magic you used to have anymore, Chris. It's people were working on BOSU balls and dragging carts out the back door there for, like, you know, cardio and doing plyometrics, and it doesn't have the same magic. I don't know, but I still like it because it's there. But you know, from what I hear, it's not going to be there for much longer, because Google bought the property next year. I think there's only one more year left on the Gold's Gym lease. So.
No, you know, Gold's Venice, the energy in Gold's Venice was exact similar to, I know, the first time I went to New York City when I was 16 years old, and even at 32 years old today. But even today, if I go to New York City, you know, when you go to New York, at least if you don't live there, the energy is just unreal. Yeah. You can walk for blocks and you just get excited. You can go in the coldest February day, the wind could be whipping off the East River, and you still have a good time just walking around and seeing whatever it is, wherever your legs end up bringing you, you know, there's something to see. And Gold's Venice had that same energy, meaning you could go in there at any time, no matter how tired you were, how weak you are, if you're dieting, over dieting, tons of cardio, no carbs, and you could get lifted up with the energy that was in that gym.
You're right.
And that's and you know, you were there, you've experienced that. So when that goes away, you know, it's the last chapter. It's probably should have been part of Sean Ray's documentary.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
The last chapter.
Well, someone should do a documentary about the history of Gold's Gym, because
God, would that be killer?
Wouldn't that be great? Because I mean, it was in what, three locations? It was originally on Pacific, then it went to the Second Street or something like that, and then I guess it moved to where it is now on Hampton. And it would be interesting, because it is going to be a closed chapter on it. Well, you know, I don't know if it's going to move or if it's that's going to be the end of it. But I hope they do find a new location for it, because it'd be a shame to. For that thing to go out of business and never open up again.
Imagine, I used to walk by every single day from my office into the gym, and I'd see typically Mike Mentz was sitting on the bench, and then if he wasn't sitting on the bench, Dan Duchesne and John Romano would be sitting on the bench right out in front of the gym yapping about something, you know?
Yeah,
24/7.
It's not the same anymore. There's definitely not... the energy has changed. That's all. It's different. It's not necessarily bad. It's just different. That's the best way to explain it. The LA Fit Expo on Saturday and Sunday, and there was a lot going on there. They had the Iron Man, NPC Iron Man Naturally show, which was very enjoyable. I watched part of that. It was about over 110 competitors in there. Bill Comsec shot it for us. We'll have that up, hopefully tagged this week on the site. Just waiting for the results, official results to come in. You know, they got to give you the official results. There's the results, and then there's official results. So wait for the official results. There was also the All-American Strongman Challenge there, which I covered. I think I was the only one there covering it, aside from the some of the strongman people, I think, were streaming it. But I covered it. Mike Burke won. And the interesting thing about the All-American Strongman Challenge, Chris, is that the winner qualifies for the Arnold Strongman. Now, I'll give you a little, let me give you a little relevancy or analogy. Imagine if they had a little smaller show, and they said, okay, whoever wins this show will qualify for the Arnold, okay? And really, you don't really get your big guys doing it. It's all smaller-time guys that do it. And one of these guys who wins gets to go compete with the likes of Derek Poundstone, Zydrunas Zivikas, Brian Shaw. So the guy, Mike Burke, who won, is so overwhelmed the fact that he's going to be, you know, competing with all these big name guys, the best in the world, at the Arnold Strongman. He was super psyched, and I got some great footage of him. You know, it's funny because he actually was. After he won the Atlas Stones event, or actually, you know, he won a. I think what did he win? Oh no, there was another guy. Mike Burke won the Atlas Stones, which was one of the most impressive displays I've ever seen. That's where they have to pick up these big round stones and put them on these pillars, and he just kicked ass on this. I mean, you know, you don't really get a good perspective on how strong these guys are unless you see it in person. You can go on the site and watch the video I have of him doing it, but it looks effortless. You got to see how big these stones are. Chris, you and I couldn't roll one of the stones. You know, that's how heavy they are. They're so awkward to carry that, like, you would probably break your back trying to lift one of them. And I think the final stone was like 450 pounds or something that they picked up.
Well, that's the whole, you know, you can't appreciate how big the stones are, nor how big and crazy the guys are until you're right there. Because, you know, I didn't have a lot of interest in it, but I caught myself with you covering it at the Arnold, the strongman competition. And anyone who walks by and gives it a chance, spends 5 minutes watching any of the events, you get caught up in it. You know, it's exciting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I have a couple of interviews. I have a guy throwing up after he won his event. So. All the coverage will be up a little later this week. I have a lot of video to edit, obviously. There was a lot of celebrities announced at the LA Fit Expo. Ronnie Coleman was there at the... I guess Ronnie's involved in this personal training certification course. And he is, I guess, one of the experts in exercise. He would be doing like what Doug Wentz did for our course, the SMART course. Mm-hmm. He's going to be doing for... Pro PTA, I think it's called.
So Big Coleman. Who else goes to the list?
He was there. I interviewed him. Ken Shamrock was there. MMA legend. Yeah. I got a great interview with him. Legend. Wait till you guys see this interview. This is, he's...
Oh, I can't. When's that going to be out?
Next day. So he, interestingly enough, is 47 years old, and he's still fighting. And I asked him about that, and he said that, you know... He said, I'll probably fight till he's 60, you know. He said, but obviously he knows better. He's not going to be fighting the champions anymore. He's going to be doing more like, you know, he'll fight the guys that he fought back in the day when he was at his best. So, you know, he'll fight other 40-year-old guys, you know.
Yeah, masters.
Yeah, which is good because, you know, you always want to see the legends fight. See, if Tyson would fight, like, you know, guys like he fought when he was younger and they're at his same age as him, there might be a venue for that. Like, kind of like Masters Bodybuilding, have Masters Boxing or something like that. You know?
Yeah, well, I saw on the site Tyson is playing Herman Cain and Herman Cain is playing himself.
You know, I love when Tyson's actually a good actor, but wouldn't you like to see Tyson fight like who were some of the guys he beat up in his day, like Riddick Bowe or
he beat everyone up. Or, dude.
I'd like to see him fight Holyfield again. Wouldn't you like to see him fight Holyfield again?
Holyfield would probably take it for the payday.
Yeah. Oh, Holyfield's still fighting, I think.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Take it for the payday for sure.
It would be fun, though. I'd like to see some of these old dudes. I'd like to see Stallone and Schwarzenegger mix it up in the ring, you know?
Yeah. we got to get to the Nationals in Atlanta next year. Maybe we can, maybe you can do an interview with Holyfield on site.
Yeah, well, worked with him.
He's got the, I've been to his house. He's got the craziest house.
We'll just show up at his house.
I got to Google the house and take a picture of it and put it on the site.
I'll take Big Sean Allen with me. We'll tell him we got a boxing match for him in the parking lot. He'll do it.
Sean Muhammad Ali Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the best. You know, that was the interview of the year post Sean's big win.
Exactly.
He was like Ali. You know, he said I'm basically right. I'm the greatest. Yeah. I'm the prettiest. The Sean Allen interview when he won the Masters. When's he going to compete, Sean?
I don't know. I got to get him on the show. He's me on the hotline. Dude. I get the bat line from Sean Ray. I mean, from Sean Allen. So what happens is when he's ready to do something,
he picks up, he calls you. He puts the
bat signal in the air, and I got to go, you know, call him back.
Okay, so Ken Shamrock, Coleman, who else was out there?
So many people. The guy was I interviewed Miss. Figure Olympia, Nicole Wilkins, Marcus Haley. You know, it looks good. Are you working with Deshaun Grimmets?
Yeah.
He looked good, actually. I interviewed him, too. He's going to be doing the Flex show. In clothing, he looks great. He looked enormous, though. I've never seen him so big.
Well, he's not big on the scale. You know, he's wide.
He looks huge. So, I mean.
He's got to get the back in, you know.
Yeah, I figured he might still have some work to do, but he's got a few weeks left. He's got 3 weeks, so I'm sure you're going to be beating the shit out of him. He's got a new CrossFit gym open, which he's promoting, and so that was good.
Promoting.
Had a good time talking to him. I love going to all the booths. They have these massage chair booths and all these. This show has a lot of natural foods, so I was eating all the raw cacao stuff and, you know, the superfoods, and I ate so many superfoods that I was I started becoming too smart for my own good. You know, I started solving calculus problems while I was walking through the LA Fit Expo. I was distracted almost.
I thought you were going to say you're super calculated, super constipated.
No, not at all. I was keeping my fiber intake up, but what happens? I was starting to do mathematical equations in my head, and I lost my camera. And I realized that I had left it at the...
on your roof?
No, I left it at the metrics booth, which was the first interview I did of the day. Can you believe it? It was there for like 6 hours later. It was still there, thank God.
Oh, man, you must have been happy that it was still there.
Marcus Haley told me he was eyeing the camera. He thought he was going to get a free camera. He's like, I was looking at it all day. I'm saying, I hope no one comes back for it. Anyway, so
is Marcus doing the show this year?
No, he won't be competing till the summer. He told me he's taking some time off, but... he looked big too, so yeah, he was enjoying himself. And I saw Tony Freeman, the X-Man. Yep. He was hawking his X-Pain product. He was very busy. He's he's nice and big and large. He's almost like 300 pounds. He's not competing until later in the year, so he is enjoying his time off. He told me, and he's been playing video games with his kids. It's always nice to have
Heath there.
I didn't see Phil Heath. He might have been there. I did see Jay Cutler at a sushi bar. And I saw him briefly. He was at... What booth was he at? He was at a booth you would never expect. It was a clothing company booth or something like that. I shook his hand. He looked a little bigger. I don't know if he's getting... if he's going to decide to compete again. I heard he told... I'm not sure who he told, but he told him that he was getting his bicep fixed and that he might compete at the Olympia. So I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe his big deal that he was going to announce fell through or something. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I never. Jay always shakes my hand. And we always have always nod to each other. But I never can tell if he's actually happy about meeting me, seeing me, or if he's just busy or something.
Well, he's probably indifferent. Meaning, how many people come up to Miss, four-time Mr. Olympia, and how many hands can you shake in a day?
I talk to him for 2 seconds because I know that. I know he's distracted. I don't want to.
Yeah, I know. I know you know that. That's why he probably he probably knows that you know that.
Right.
That you can just, he can give you the nod and just whatever, goodbye.
I saw Tito Ortiz there. I wanted to interview him and actually ask him about Jenna Jameson, his ex-wife there, the porn star, but I didn't have a chance. He was so mobbed. He had the biggest line, I think, of anyone there, even more than Ronnie Coleman, believe it or not.
I saw her on an infomercial recently for losing weight.
Jenna Jameson?
Didn't I? Yeah.
She looks like an anorexic stick. She looks terrible.
Well, then she lost all the weight and more.
I guess she did, yeah. It looked like the heroin diet. It didn't really look like the real healthy diet to me. You know the heroin look where you get completely emaciated?
Yeah, where it's just like, it's almost death.
Now, I want to put out a special thank you. I know he's listening to this because I know he listens to all my shows. And he's a fan of the show. He started using my diet, believe it or not. He was severely overweight, this guy. His name is Alain. And he, I guess one of the, you know, I put my diet out there for free. He started using it and he changed his whole life. He became an actor. Mm-hmm. He's a personal trainer now. He lives in LA. And I guess to show his appreciation, because he's a God-fearing man, he took me, Bill Comstock, and the girl Hope, who was helping me out with the shooting the video all weekend, took us out to the most incredible sushi dinner I've ever had. One of the, and I've eaten a lot of sushi dinners.
Really? Yeah, yeah. No, you're like the sushi king.
It was at one of the, it was at a very fancy, famous sushi restaurant in LA called Wakena. Now, to tell you how famous it was, I ran into Jay Cutler there, so he obviously knew about it too.
Yeah, he's. You know, I was. It's so funny when I said you're the sushi king.
Yeah.
I kind of thought I was insulting Jay a little bit because he's the sushi king.
Oh, he likes sushi too.
Oh yeah, he loves sushi.
That's funny. Yeah, I always see him at sushi places. Crazy. Yeah, yeah. I've seen him at a couple of sushi places throughout the years, and I guess this was a good one. But I'll tell you something. I had some rolls there. You know what? Let me explain to you a little about sushi, because you eat sushi too and you like it. But you can have fresh sushi and people will say, oh, this is awesome sushi. But if you can get fresh sushi and have a chef who knows how to combine the fish with the spices, with the certain mint leaves and this leaf and that, it's the taste that it creates in your mouth. Now, I eat with a lot of people sushi, and I try to explain to them, don't dip your sushi in so much soy sauce, because it ruins the natural taste, the flavor that the sushi chef has supposedly spent all this time trying to develop for you by putting together the various ingredients. So I eat it. Don't put any soy sauce on it. And it's not because I'm against salt. You know I eat a ton of salt. So this place was exquisite. I got to tell you, every single thing I ate there was not one bad thing there. If you guys are ever in L.A., check out Wakano, spelled, I think, W-O-K-C-A-N-O. And that's my infomercial for that. And I want to thank my good friend Elaine and his girlfriend. And it was an amazing dinner, and I will never forget it. And I think they're going to cook me a fish dinner when I'm back there when we're there in three weeks. I think they want me to bring you too, so you might have to come for a fish dinner.
I'll come, but you know me. I'm not a crazy. I can only eat like one roll and I'm stuffed.
Yeah, well, I think they want to make us dinner at their place, at their apartment.
So
this might be a home-cooked meal.
That'd be great.
I'll tell them to make sure they have a very small plate.
They must really love you if you can bring a guest too.
That's right. Now, the weekend, I guess you can say, was the finale of the weekend, at least for me was, because I left late Sunday night on a red eye, was the screening of Sean Ray's movie, The Evolution of a Bodybuilder. You've heard of it. You saw the 15-minute preview at the Masters Press in Miami. Well,
I
got to see the full length version of it. Actually, I almost saw the end. I didn't stay till the very, very end. I stayed to about probably, I missed 5 minutes or something.
Where is it? Is it going on to DVD? Is it going to, you know what?
It's going to DVD and Blu-ray. It's going to DVD and Blu-ray.
Okay, got it.
I wrote a review for the site, so I'm not going to go into tremendous detail on what was going on. But Sean was nice enough to invite me. He invited me the night before, but that's okay. I'll take it. And it was at a cinema, the Regal Cinema there, I think, right across the street from the Nokia Theater and the Ritz-Carlton. Mm-hmm. And it was like in a regular movie theater. They screened this thing, and they started the thing with a 20-minute slideshow of old pictures of old bodybuilders with no titling on it. So unless you were like a super fan of bodybuilding, you would never know who half the guys were. I knew who maybe 80% of them were, which means that probably the other people there probably knew 40% of them. And there was some music. It was too long. In my estimation, they should put the slideshow at the end of the movie, you know, when the credits were running. But that's aside from that little mistake, from a perspective of information, the movie was excellent. I enjoyed the stories. I knew all the characters they were talking about. Peter McGough was pretty much the I guess you could say the glue that held this whole piece together, because he knows everything. He knows the history of the sport. He told all the stories. He knew everything that was. They could have just done a Peter McGough interview and it would have probably been enough. Mm-hmm. But they had Louis Frigno in there. They didn't have Arnold. They got interviews with a lot of the Mr. Olympias, not all of them. I thought the movie was enjoyable in the sense that as a bodybuilding fan and historical person who likes the history of the bodybuilding, I learned a couple things, and I found it amusing. I think for the average lay person, they would never be able to sit through the movie. It would have been torturous for them because they wouldn't have, they didn't put enough context around what was going on. They didn't explain enough of who these people were. And they didn't have, Chris, they had no visual pictures or video to illustrate what the guys were talking about. So when they were talking about the 1980 Olympia, you think you would see some footage or some pictures of what they were discussing about how Arnold didn't look as good as he should have, and this one, and Menzer looked great, and they didn't show any of this. Now, I don't know if this was because they couldn't get licensing from the Weider people because it was a muscular development sponsored project, or if what the case may be, but I can't imagine they couldn't get photographs, you know, from someone. A documentary with no, you're getting no visual of what the person's talking about. So,
So what is the how does it wrap up? I guess you know,
the history of bodybuilding.
It's hard to wrap up a history.
Well, it wraps up at the end of the history is that Phil Heath won the Olympia. You know, that's the last Olympia champion. They go from. How bodybuilding came about, you know, back to the days of Eugene Sandow. Then they progressed to the point of the Weider starting their organization and their fight with Hoffman. And they even discussed Vince McMahon in there a little bit, you know, when he brought the WBF in. They talked about the drug testing years. They talked about how the Olympia was created. They went through every single Mr. Olympia, you know, how, you know, who they were and who their nemesis were and who they competed against. And they got some side stories in there. And like I said, Peter McGuff told most, him and Boyer Coe probably told most of the story. And, you know, Louis, they had a little bit of Louis Ferrigno in there. They had some Ronnie Coleman in there. Jay was in there toward the end. You know, to me, the later years are kind of boring because we know it, you know, we know too much about them already, you know, Jay and Phil and Dexter and stuff like that. But, you know, it's complete, I guess. It's complete in and of itself. It's a little, you know, it's a historical document is really what it is. It's like watching, it was like watching the History Channel. But my advice, if you read the article, the review I write about it, I'm not going to talk anymore because you can read the review. My advice was for them to go back to the editing table and re-edit the thing because I think it is something worthy of saving. I think it just needs more editing time. And this was a preview for it. So, you know what? You should take the reviewer's advice and hopefully they'll take that and they'll go back and they'll make it even better because they got the framework of something good. I think they just have to tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's why I asked. You know, it's hard to make a historical piece, you know, exciting unless unless you're a fan,
right.
And then two, unless you bring something really, you know, different to it, other than you know typical stories. I haven't seen it. So.
The funny thing, Chris, is that, well, you saw the 15-minute trailer. You remember how they had the part with Steve Blackman in there, and he's like at the marina by his house on Long Island, and his hair is blowing in the wind, and it looks kind of silly.
Thought there was Miami or something.
He was trying to sound all cool.
It was like
cool.
A windstorm.
Yeah, he was trying to sound all cool. Well, they pulled that out. There was no Blackman in the movie at all. So I guess he must have told them he didn't want it in there because we were laughing when I guess they showed it. You know, I'm going to give Steve credit, and then I'm going to give him a little jab. To his credit, he knows the history of the sport. The guy should have been talking about how when he started Twin Lab and the Weider's organization was so upset with it, with the fact that he started Twin Lab, that they wouldn't let they wouldn't let Twin Lab advertising in the magazine. Yeah. So Blackman sued him, and that's how that's why the Blackman family went and bought Muscular Development magazine. From the Pearly Raiders, widow.
That is a story in itself.
It's a
91, 89, 90, 91, those early years when Steve started Twin Lab and they were just like, you know, smoldering the supplement company and they had no access to the Weider publications. And really, it's from that low point where, you know, they didn't have the ability to advertise in what was at the time the number one bodybuilding magazines in the world.
Right.
To launch, you know, his own thing.
Right. So
that's an interesting piece that, you know, that I know about. And you know, a lot of people don't know about that. I bet people listening to this show are hearing that. I bet a lot of people are hearing that for the first time. They know MD's been around for, you know, years and years and years and years. That's when Hoffman had it. But it really wasn't.
Was it Hoffman who owned it? Was Hoffman on MD or was it the Raider family?
Radar family owned Iron Man.
Oh, Iron Man. I made a mistake. Yeah, so maybe it was Hoffman. So he bought it from Hoffman's widow.
Had it.
He bought it from Hoffman's widow.
And I remember had to be 89 or 90. It was like the first time I met 88. I met Steve way back then, and he said, I'm buying MD. And I was thinking, MD? Why not just, interestingly, why not just start your own brand new from scratch magazine? But he bought that magazine.
They liked the history of the magazine. Yeah, they liked that it had a history.
Yeah.
And
established.
The funny thing was that the Blackman, the Winlab sued Weider for trademark or monopoly because they wouldn't let them advertise. And when the case came up, MD was doing so well as a magazine, and Twin Lab had raised its sales that the judge threw the case out because he's like, you guys are not losing business. Your business has grown. So that was the end. I would have liked to have heard that. That would have been good. Steve should have told that rather than pretending like he's like this, he was acting like he was Barack Obama when he did the interview. He was talking in these very esoteric terms. He should have just said, look, this is what happened. What happened was we started Twin Lab and Weider got pissed off. So what we did was we bought another magazine.
Yeah, he shouldn't have. Instead of being a Barack Obama, he should have just pulled a Gingrich.
He should have just said it like it was. Knows. That's what people want to hear.
Just said it. You know what? And we crushed, it's what the fact of the matter is, we ended up crushing them supplement wise and now publication wise.
Yeah, and what he should have done is he should have filmed it from his office, right at his desk, like Joe Weider would do it. I don't understand what this craziness was that he was like he was going yachting or something like that. He doesn't even go out on a boat. What the hell was he doing at the boatyard there?
Text Sean and you can tell him that you just gave him the best idea one of the better ideas of the whole entire
movie. The fact that Muscular Development sponsored the movie, it says a Muscular Development production, and then Steve doesn't even in it. That's ridiculous. He played a major part in this whole thing. That's, let's give him credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree.
All right, look, we got to go. I'm getting angry. I'm very angry, Chris.
Good.
We got to go to commercial break. Let's go to commercial break. We come back. We're going to talk about a couple more things, and then we're going to get to our guest, Jerome Hollywood Ferguson, who is fuming mad. We got to get him on a little later. Be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com, the newest and hottest supplement super site. We carry all the major brands, including Species, MHP, BPI, BSN, Optimal Nutrition, Gaspari, and many more. Low on cash? No problem. ExtremeFitNutrition.com offers competitive prices that our competitors can't beat. Now you can supplement your diet without having to supplement your bank account. Here's some of our specials. Buy $100 worth of Species products or Metabolic Nutrition and get a free t-shirt and bag. Buy $200 worth of BSN products and receive a BSN t-shirt and shaker bottle. Check out ExtremeFitNutrition.com for more great deals. Visit us at the 2011 Olympia Expo. Stop by booth number 322 and meet IFBB pros Bethany Wagner, Guy Cisternino, Tiana Gonzalez, and Gina Trociano. Remember, there's only one extreme. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com now.
What's up, everyone? This is Dave Palumbo with RxMuscle.com. First things first, thanks for supporting our site. And speaking of support, we couldn't do what we do without the support of our advertisers. So I feel it's very important at this time to ask you to support our advertisers by purchasing their great products and by clicking on their banner ads right on this very page. I also want to point out the great deal that my friends over at SciFit Nutrition are offering. Buy one, get one free for their new pre-workout formula, Dark Energy. Now, let me tell you something about Dark Energy. Number one, it comes in 6 great flavors. And from what I hear from my friend Ian Lauer, the editor-in-chief of RX Muscle's sister site, mensphysique.com, his workouts are literally in the stratosphere. This is a guy who's got so much energy in the gym, and I never knew where it came from. SciFit's new Dark Energy. Buy one, get one free. Click on that banner ad on the right side of the screen and support the people who support us.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com. An expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and
and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding strong. Supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding. Bodybuilding strong. Strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved.
Isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old school hand grips and rigid pull down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com.
On March 17, 2012, St. Patrick's Day weekend, First Form and Hydrolyze Ultra present the First Form Pro Women's Physique, Fitness, and Bikini Championship, along with the First Form NPC Midwest Bodybuilding, Fitness, Figure, Physique, Bikini, and Men's Physique Championship, a national qualifier. This event has so many perks for both athletes and fans alike. Just ask the over 1,300 guests that attended last year's event. Taking place at the St. Louis University Bush Student Center, you'll watch IFBB Pro and future superstar Mike Liberatore and current IFBB Pro superstar Kai Green as they light up the stage with their posing routines. Six-time Fitness Olympia Adela Garcia will be in attendance. The top male and female pros and top amateurs from across the country are coming to St. Louis. Plus, the RX Muscle model search is taking place. Here's your chance to win some great prizes, get a photo shoot, and also be featured on RXMuscle.com. Come meet the top supplement companies in attendance at their booths with free samples. March 17th, 2012 in St. Louis, Missouri. All contest information can be found at npcmidwest.com, including tickets and prizes. Don't miss it. Go to npcmidwest.com for all information.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. Dave Palumbo here with Chris, the Technician Acedo, and we were just talking about the movie, The Evolution of a Bodybuilder, and Sean Ray has been pushing this thing over the last year and a half, and I went to the I guess you could say, the showing of the movie. I don't know if you want to call it a preview of the movie or the premiere of the movie, and I was sad to say, Chris, that there was not many press in attendance. I did run into Ruth Silverman there from Iron Man magazine, and I was there, obviously. Lauren Powers was there for Lauren Powers TV. I don't know if that's bragging or if anyone wants to really brag about that, but I did. I'm sure the Muscular Development crew was there. I saw Sean Andrews, you know, walking around as well. And look, you know, he did it nice. He did a nice job. I'll tell you, I like having it in the movie theater. I ordered a big, large popcorn. I ate my popcorn while I was watching the movie, and I felt like I enjoyed it. But it needs work still. So let's move on to the next topic. What is the next topic? The next topic is, we're not going to talk about the Flex Pro show. We've been talking about it ad infinitum. We'll talk a little bit about it next week. We'll add some new exciting little tidbits to it, and we'll see who we think is going to win. We'll do our predictions. I did do a prediction video with Lonnie Teeper for the Flex Pro and the Arnold Pro at the LA Fit Expo, so I'll be putting those up the week of the shows. And Lonnie always has a very strong opinion, and that's why I like to talk to him. But you know, we like to talk about something science related in our Guru Q&A of the week. And this week, I really didn't have any topics picked out, Chris, but I did want to, you know, I have this obsession, you know, with this, with guacamole. Now, guacamole is pretty much mostly made up of avocados, and I'm a very big avocado advocator, and I wasn't always an avocado advocator. It wasn't until, like, recently when I started eating sushi, going back to sushi, that I kind of got a taste for avocados. Now, some people don't like them, but they happen to have a very high amount of monounsaturated fat in it, which is really good, and they also have a lot of fiber in it, avocados. So it could be a good diet food. It could be a good off-season food. Do you incorporate that into some of the diets that you do with people?
Yeah, you know, one of the ways I incorporate fats in general is there's on, you know, clearly low carbs is the way to go, or lower carbs. And before, if you know, if I'm not sure if I should bring a person's carbs up or not, if I'm on the fence, what I'll do is have them incorporate some type of dietary fat, and it could be avocado, a monounsaturated fat, or it could be a little olive oil, or a combo of add some more red meat, or a mixture of the three: red meat, salmon, avocado, monounsaturated fats, with the idea that, and you can correct me, if you're coaching your body along, encouraging it to burn stored body fat, free fatty acids derived from body fat, to me, if you add carbs in, you could shut that whole process down, right? By virtue of the insulin secretion that you get from carbs. So there's the idea, at least, you know, conceptually, that if you add additional dietary fat, even if your calories go up to the diet, not only do you, you know, have a little bit more energy, but it kind of primes the pump for that fat burning process. Agreed. Your body has the building blocks, or the fragments, you know, free fatty acids with glycerol from free fatty acids from the food to kind of encourage the burning of additional body fat. You know what? Years ago, they used to say this thing, and I just drove me crazy. Fat burns in the flame of carbohydrates. Well, fat burns in the flame of fat.
True.
So the answer is, yeah, I'll incorporate it when either I'm on the fence, not sure if the bodybuilder needs more carbs. I'll increase his fat, and then hopefully, you know, take a look 2 or 3 days later and see where his body's going, if he's improved.
Now, I see,
and if he improves, then I know there's a benefit.
Now, I see some bodybuilders who eat like red meat like 5 times a day, and I'm really against that, because I do believe that some saturated fat is necessary, but I like to incorporate some of the monounsaturated fats. And if you don't really have a taste for just pure oils, you can try some avocado, because it really doesn't have a lot of carbs in it. It's mostly, the carbs it does have are mostly fiber. So putting that aside, I love guacamole. Now, guacamole originally comes from the Aztecs came up with the invented guacamole, and it dates back something to like the 16th century. And the actual name guacamole, believe it or not, means mole. You know, the mole, It's basically like avocado sauce, it means, because the word mole in I guess in Spanish or Aztec means sauce. So it's like a avocado sauce is guacamole, which is really what it is. It's mushy. And in Spanish, it's actually pronounced guacamole with a W, ironically enough.
Guacamole.
I am obsessed with finding a good guacamole recipe.
The best, yeah. Where do you find the best?
Well, online, but I want our viewers or listeners out there to submit their recipes. I wish they could just send me the guacamole, because I think I'd be willing to date a woman if she can put together a good guacamole recipe with me. For me, I love this stuff. I don't like when they put too much onions in it, but I like it. And I've just recently learned, and I know I've told you this before, that I have trouble finding ripe avocados. I never always buy them. They're either too hard or too mushy. I found that
it's hard to get them perfect.
This is how you test for ripeness, okay? The end of the avocado, there's like a stem almost that sticks out. It's like a little bumpy there. Mm-hmm. If you push on it, it should give in a little bit, but it shouldn't smush in. If it smushes in, it's too much. It's overripe. If it pushes in a little bit, though, okay, then you know it's perfectly ripe, and that's the avocado you want to buy. It took me 10 years to finally figure out how to pick a correct avocado, and some old lady in the supermarket told me, and she's right. And every time I've bought an avocado, I've gotten it right every single time. And sometimes I go to the supermarket, I push, and then none of the ends go in. And I know they're all unripe, so I don't buy them. I don't buy them.
They're usually, right? Yep. Don't you find typically they're too firm?
They're too hard. Because what they do is they pick them before they're ripe, because then they last longer. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of different recipes out there. You know, they add avocados is usually the main ingredient. Then you got tomatoes, onions, peppers, cilantro. Yeah, you got to use lemon or
garlic
lime juice.
Garlic and lemon?
Yes.
Garlic and lemon or garlic and lime.
But you don't want to add too much lemon or lime juice, because that makes it too watery, according to what I've read. But the lime juice is very important. Matter of fact, the lime or lemon juice, Chris, will prevent the avocados from turning brown. You ever notice if you cut an avocado, you leave it out, it turns brown?
Almost instantaneously, like in a day, right?
Yes, less than a day. It can be hours. So if you add a little lemon or lime juice, it completely preserves it. Also, if you want to cut up your avocados ahead of time, what you can do is you put them in cold water and put them in the refrigerator. And the cold water will preserve them also, will prevent them from turning brown. So and that's due to an enzyme that does that. So these are just little things. But I want submit your guacamole recipes. Understand that I do not like too much. I do not like too much onion, and I do not like too much garlic. So you're gonna have to take that into account when you guys make your guacamole. I know we have a few probably Mexicans who are listening to this show, or people who are just good cooks by definition. And I want a good guacamole recipe. I believe that these things can be. If you really can keep your portion size down, I think you can eat guacamole while you're dieting and probably lose weight.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, if it's, almost inevitably you can lose weight incorporating something in occasionally, no matter what it is.
I love it. I love this stuff. It's my new favorite thing. I'm working on trying to, like I said, come up with a recipe. What I've been doing is just cutting avocados and mixing them into my usual mishmash of food. I eat my salmon and rice and salad mixtures, but I like the guacamole. I got to tell you,
I'll be on the lookout at Whole Foods and BJ's for different types of packaged guacamole and see what I can find. And if I find one that's exceptional, then I'll post it up on the website.
Lonnie Teeper was pissed off because Aaron, I guess Sean Ray must have tweeted that he's emceeing the Arnold Classic, and that's Lonnie Teeper's gig. And I guess Sean Ray is emceeing the Arnold amateur event. So Lonnie got very upset with Aaron that he would even put that out there, you know. And
who's madder, Jerome Ferguson or Lonnie?
Now, Jerome's all about love. I was just teasing that he's mad. He's not mad at all. But no, Lonnie's in a good mood. Actually, Lonnie is, and I are very much alike, and I didn't realize this, but Lonnie, you know, Teeper, although he's older than me, although by his markings, he's younger than me, but he is born one day before I was. Well, not one day before. He was born February 16th. I'm born February 17th. We're both half Jewish, half Italian. Mm-hmm. What else do we have alike? I forget what else we have. Oh, we both have Maltese dogs, little dogs, same dog. Mm-hmm. Isn't that pretty? We're both obviously in the sport of bodybuilding.
Those four big things.
I have a better physique than him, but he has a better head of hair than I do. No, actually, he doesn't have a better hair. I have a better head.
You're wider than him.
I'm a little wider than him. He comes up with better nicknames than me, though. Lonnie and I have a lot in common. I get him. I really do get him. A lot of people don't get Lonnie. Yeah, you know, he's a little, you know.
He's got the gift of gab, right?
Got the gift of gab. And I like him a lot. I think he's a good guy. But he has the he was giving me the Jewish guilt this weekend because I was supposed to meet up with him to do this this preview video, and I was driving from Venice. That could be with traffic, and you get caught. And he kept texting me, "I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I can't wait anymore." And I'm like, "Lonnie, relax. You know, he's throwing all the guilt on me. I gotta park my car. They're gonna charge me an extra day in the hotel." I said.
What about his muscle bag career?
He's not writing for them anymore. I think it ended. Okay. The column ended. Yeah, the column ended. He didn't.
The column ended. That's a big deal.
Yeah, they. I guess you know these magazines restructure every so often, and they they change how the format of the magazine. I don't think they're doing very well. I don't think Muscle Mag is doing well at all, and maybe they can't afford to pay all these guys that are writing for them. I would like Lonnie to write for us, you know, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, it'd be good. Or he's good behind the microphone, you know, in front of the camera.
He'll be.
So, I mean, if he can't write, he can always, you know, yap and talk. And
he'll be doing the wrap up with us at the Flex Pro after the pre-judging. He does have a birthday. He's going out for his birthday Saturday night, so he's already hedging his bets whether he can do the final wrap up with us. But I guarantee he'll be there. I don't think he'll miss it. I told him it's my birthday too. How come I'm not missing anything? I'm flying on my birthday. Yeah. I'm flying that Friday out to California on my birthday. Actually, I'm flying on Virgin American, and I told you that. That's the best airline out there.
Yeah, you told me it's the best. Next to that's your favorite, and Spirit is your second favorite.
No, I hate Spirit.
I know you do.
It's terrible. Terrible. Actually, I flew US Air this weekend, and it was actually pretty good. Actually, on the way back, I flew US Air to Sedona and then US Air to LA. And then on the way back, I flew American. And the American plane was one of those big ones. You know, when you were a kid, there was like huge planes with like 18 rows, you know. What are they, 747s? I didn't even know they still flew those. It was tremendous.
Yeah, they still fly 747s. They're rare.
It was big. They had a sleeper. Like the first class had like all had blankets and like sleeping bags and stuff like that. You know, it probably cost like $10,000 to fly first class.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Of course.
And Kevin English was on my flight.
What's he getting ready for? New York Pro, right?
I don't know. I should have asked him, but he looked enormous. He was big. And I told him, you know what? He didn't know this, but a lot of people don't know this. And I know. Our listeners will recall that I always talk about this, but I had to go through one of those x-ray machines, and I declined. I don't go through them. You're allowed to decline. People don't realize you can do this. What they do is they pat you down. It actually gets you through faster because you don't have to wait on the line. They just pull you right through, and then they pat you down. They take all your bags aside, and it's much easier. But I explained to Kevin. I said, Kevin, you travel a lot. You can't be going through those crazy x-ray machines all the time. You're going to get, you know, flooded with tons of x-ray radiation. So he didn't know that. So he thanked me for it. And he told me that he's going to be going, he'll be out in Australia. He's guest posing out there for, Tony Doherty. So maybe him and Chewbacca will be on the same flight.
That's coming up. What's that?
Two weeks after the Arnold. That same weekend, I will be in at the St. Louis Pro, Jack to Tony show.
Yeah.
And I think, Chris, I'm going to confirm it tonight, but it looks like we're going to be having a bros versus pros out there.
That's in St. Louis?
In St. Louis, the day after the St. Louis Pro. Yeah, Jack wants to make it a big weekend, so might be having a bros versus pros. We're putting all that together, all the details, and I will, you know, update you on that as stuff comes in and we find out exactly all the details of what the events will be. I'm sure it'll be a very busy weekend for me. It's really hard to cover show and do a bros versus pros in the same weekend. It's like the never ending weekend, you know?
Yeah, Chaos City,
but it's fun.
People like it, you know?
But you know,
like
Jack makes everything fun, and I think that's the key. And if you're having a good time while you're doing it, it's really not work.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as bad.
All right, Chris. Well, you know, we got a great show. Jerome Ferguson will be calling in a little bit, and he'll be filling me in on what's going on in his career. And we know we do these Ferguson's Infernos on the video training series that Bill Comstock's been filming for our site, where Jerome basically torches these guys out in Venice, California. And they've been very popular. Jerome has also been doing a lot of acting lately. I'm sure you've seen his Planet Fitness commercial.
Yeah, I saw it.
You saw that one? Yeah, he made it. I think he made a few bucks from that. So I'm going to talk to him about that. And I hear he's going to be making his pro debut finally this year. He turned pro in 2010, and he's going to be getting on the stage later this summer. So he's got a lot going on in his life. And I just saw him out in California, and so I figured it would be a good time to get him on. And that's really all she wrote. I'm going to cut the show. I don't think I'm going to have Chewbacca on today because, you know, I got back early this morning and I need some time to kind of catch up and everything and edit video. So no Chewbacca. Chewbacca will be back next week. Chris, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, Jerome Hollywood Ferguson.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
From bikini to bodybuilding, CJ's Elite Custom Competition Suits is where the pros go. Founder and creator Cynthia James, known to the physique world as CJ, has been customizing suits for over 20 years with a unique combo of style, fit, and bling. CJ is the official suit creator for Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler, and being an IFBB Pro official and NPC judge, CJ knows what it takes to present the perfect package on stage. CJ personally manufactures every suit she creates using only the highest quality Austrian-made Swarovski first-cut crystals for an unmatched stage presence. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, no two designs are ever alike. Check out all of CJ's suits at cynthia-james.com, where you'll also find our latest bikini division suit innovations. CJ's Elite Custom Suits are what the pros wear. Jay Cutler, Tanji Johnson, Ava Cowan, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Trish Warren, and many more all know that CJ's Elite is the only way to go when it comes to top quality and innovative suits that fit every time. What are you waiting for? Visit cynthia-james.com right now and check out the new men's physique division creations as well. CJ's Elite Custom Suits is where the pros go.
Hydralyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydralyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydralyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydralyze Ultra today. Visit HydralyzeUltra.com. That's HydralyzeUltra.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Sinus Stain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Okay, our next guest is an IFBB pro. He's been in the industry a long time. You might know him as the guy who likes to take out the dogs. He's one and only Jerome Ferguson.
Yeah.
why did Lonnie Teeper give you the nickname Hollywood Ferguson? Where'd that come
from? You know what? You know what, dude? I'm going to have to bag it up and keep it real. John Lindsay gave me that name, dude.
Ah, Lonnie Tepper takes credit for that name.
He kind of takes credit for it, you know? But, I mean, But John Lindsay, you know, I'm in one. Maybe it's like, 2001 or whatever. You know, what do you think? Who do you think you are? You Hollywood? Because I think that's when I first did the Who Let the Dogs Out in 2001. And he was like, who do you think you are, Hollywood? You know? And so that's how it... But, you know, personally think, you know, how it basically came out in the beginning.
It stuck. Now, for people who might not know what we're talking about, when you would do your posing routines at the national level, whether it be the USA Nationals, you used to do this crazy routine to Who Let the Dogs Out, and you would take your hair out, because you got long hair, and you just let it go crazy, and you just do this real funky, you know, type of music, dancing type stuff on stage. What inspired you to do that the first time? I loved it, because most people are so boring on stage, and you can barely watch it.
You know, Dave, I've always been an entertainer, dude. That's been part of my personality. And believe it or not, it comes from my daughter, man. We were sitting around watching 101 Dalmatians, you know, and it was like, Dad, I like that song, Who Let the Dogs Out? You know, I was like, oh, yeah, I like that song. You know, you should pose to it. And I was like, okay. And then I just create this cool dance, you know, like go around in a circle like a dog chasing his tail and going back and forth all day. And there it go, man. Who let the dogs out?
You know, people don't realize that because I don't have kids, but I have little dogs. And what I do with the dogs is and I do it with people around. I don't even realize it anymore. I make these funny dog voices. Like I have each dog has their own voice, and I just... It's like a really high-pitched voice that I do, which you'd never expect to hear me do it. And I go around and I chase them around like a retard. You know, to any person outside would think I was crazy. So you probably do the same thing with your kids, I'm sure, and then you just translated that onto the stage, right?
Exactly right. That's what I used to do with my daughter. We used to play around, have fun. And I just took, you know what? It made her happy. She loved seeing me on stage. And I just created this whole crazy routine for her. Who let the dog out? And then everybody started liking it. And I was like, okay. And then everybody told me I really had to do it. And I, you know, and that's how it started. And Who Let the Dogs Out? So every routine I did, you know, I started out with a, you know, cool, kind of serious song, did my routine. Right. And then close to the end, I put out, Who Let the Dogs Out? Ooh.
I love it because you and I have talked about this before, that especially the bigger guys, most of their routines are so boring. Oh my god, you want to you know, put a bullet in your head. I don't know why people can't be creative.
I know, man. It was like enough already. I mean I've watched so many shows over the years, and about time they get up to the big guys, I just want to go home. I mean, and I'm passionate bodybuilding, and people in the fans see the same thing, you know. And I'm like, this thing's gonna be a fun entertainment, and I'm an entertainer. I love to have fun, and dude, I'm like, let's wake this joint up. Let's get this party started right now, baby.
You're right, for the super heavies, and then everyone is like wide awake, and they leave with a smile on their face. I used to do the same thing. I wasn't the best poser, but I always tried to do something creative so that when people left, they were smiling, you know?
You know, they bought the ticket for a show. You know, they come to see a show.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, like any theatrical show, any bodybuilding show, bodybuilding is still a show, you know, and people want to see a show. And I'm like, hey, that's what it's all about, man. Give them a show.
I agree. We have to have, like, American Idol for, like, bodybuilders or something like that. That's you see the... You see the level of routine go up really fast if we did that.
Really fast, man.
I was just talking about this with Melvin Anthony, who has been missing in action at the LA Fit Expo, and he's going to start, you know, helping other guys, you know, put some more creative routines together, which I think is a brilliant idea. You know, I would hire someone like Melvin if I lived near him. I'd hire you too, because you guys got creativity.
You know what? And that'll bring it back for bodybuilding. You know what I mean? Because people want to see bodybuilding, but they really don't want to see a big body on stage hitting poses with, you know what I mean, boring music. You know what I mean? Sure. Or, you know, they want to see a show. You know what I mean? It ain't got to be Cirque du Soleil, but right. You know what I mean? You know, they really want to be a show. And, I think, you know, as it goes on, and because, I mean, when I first did it, believe it or not, the judges and people really didn't, I mean, the judges kind of liked it, but John Lindsay's kind of like hesitant. Hey, what are you doing? You know, because I kind of changed the whole, you know, thing with my little crazy routine a little bit. And, you know, John was like, that's why he called me Hollywood. He wasn't like, you know, give me a compliment at the moment. He was like, what do you think, you're in Hollywood? But yeah, the crowd loved it, so yeah, he went along with it. You know what I mean?
I like it, so of course he went along with it.
There you go. He was selling more tickets, so that's why he went along with it, baby.
Well, you know, you've been doing this for quite a while now. Yeah. Starting in 2004 is really when you kind of broke into that top five at the national level. You were fourth at the Nationals, I believe. I think in the North American, you were second in the heavyweights. And then pretty much every year after that, you kind of was in that top five group. However, it took you another 5 years, or 6 years, I should say, before you finally got the pro card at the Masters Nationals when you won the super heavy there and the overall there. What do you think was hard? Tell me how hard, number one, it is to get into that top five, and then why is it even harder to get to that number one spot, which I never did get to, by the way. Everyone knows.
You know, Dave, you know what? It was hard. It took me years to even, because I started in 2000, and I didn't break into it until 2004. And you know what? What I did, I snuck out to the North America, and I think I got second at the North America.
Right.
And then I did the national. And you know, and I was kept doing the USA's. And you know, I mean, I remember a 12th place. Might even been a 16th place in there someplace. But you know, it was hard getting there. But what was really hard is trying to get that card.
What was your problem? Because I remember seeing you at the USA when you're at the weigh-in, and I was predicting you were going to win the whole show, and then the next, you know, you showed up the next day, and you looked a little different. Were you having trouble getting the peak down?
You know what? That's the biggest problem. I don't care what no one says. I mean, I give props to Dexter. I give props. But the hardest thing was to get that peak right. You know, and what I kind of learned at the very end, you really don't have to change anything. You know, right.
The less you change, the better. I always say the same thing.
The less you change, you better. You know, it was all about water control. Mm-hmm. You know, because everything else is there, and then you try something different, and it messes everything up. And that's what I kept doing.
What was the craziest thing you did, like at someone else's advice, that you realized in retrospect that you really screwed up big time doing that?
Dude, you know what? Someone advised me to take muffins. Eat muffins.
Oh, my God. How many muffins did you eat?
I think I ate like six muffins, but it was in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to tell you a name, because the name is, he's doing really good now.
You think he was trying to sabotage you?
Dude, it was when Dries got his pro card.
Right. That was, what was that, 2000? Five or something like that? Somewhere? Six?
Something like 2003? Two or three, something like that.
I think it was four, maybe. So what happened?
So, before prejudging, trying to muffin up, and I never ate muffin. You know, I always carved up, you know, yams or potatoes or rice.
And you just
and
got.
It was a mess, man.
And what happened? You just smoothed out completely from all the sugars?
Smoothed out, like over sugar. Body went crazy. It was almost like I looked fat on stage.
I'm glad you're admitting this, because you know what? A lot of guys they would feel so horrible about what happened that they wouldn't even say it. But you do admit it, because you know what? There, no one just shows up one day and then looks completely different the next day. There's always something that goes on, and you know, we need to reiterate this, because you train a lot of people on a regular basis, and I'm sure.
Yeah.
You've learned from this. You've gotten wisdom from doing this. The less you do, the better. I say it all the time to these guys, and I see this crazy, nutty stuff that they do, honey or like you said, muffins, or they start eating, you know, French fries or pizza, and then all of a sudden they go from looking amazing, maybe a little flat, to being completely bloated, out of control the next day.
Yes, I agree.
So, no more muffin loading for you.
No more muffin loading, baby. You know, the thing is, it's hard to do, but you got to be like confident in what you bring to the stage. You get it ready before you need to show it. It's going to be ready when you show it.
You're right. 100. You know, the best advice that anyone could listen to, all the listeners out there, listen to this advice. Jerome Ferguson has learned the hard way, and he's giving you wisdom. Don't ignore it.
And that's to do. Get ready before the show. And if you're ready for the show, you ain't got to do them. Step on stage and show them what you got.
You said it, man.
If you got to do all this crazy stuff, you're done.
You said it.
Might as well not even get on stage.
If If you have to do this crazy stuff because you don't look that good the week of the show, then you're probably not in shape anyway.
Agreed.
How'd you get into training people at Gold's Gym Venice? Did you grow up over around there?
You know, I do, believe it or not, dude. I'm from Tennessee.
You are from Tennessee. How did you get out to California? When did you get out to California?
Dude, came out in 94, wanted to be like Arnold.
Wow.
Wanted to be a bodybuilder, man. Wanted to get in TV.
You did. You did get in TV.
And I did. Yeah, that's where they're going.
What's the latest commercial? The last commercial I think I saw you did that Planet Fitness commercial? How'd that come about?
Yeah. You know what, dude? It was crazy, man. You know, I wasn't going to do it. And I talked to Lou. You're an actor. Go act. Go get paid.
Lou Ferrigno, you mean, told you this?
Lou Ferrigno, yeah.
Really?
And I said, okay, yeah. So I get there.
Nate, now, hold on, let me stop you for a second. You didn't want to do it because you thought it was making fun of bodybuilding. You thought maybe you'd get some flack. Is that what the problem was?
Yes. You know what? It wasn't even about getting slack from people because, you know, man, either people love you or they don't, you know? So, I'm all about love.
Right.
But it was the fact that I didn't like the way they was, you know, they bashing bodybuilders, you know what I mean? The way that they doing it, you know? So, I didn't agree with that.
Right, but it's a TV gig. It's at one point it's a message, but at the second point, you're trying to get into Hollywood, literally, and this is a way in there because a lot of people saw that commercial.
Exactly, over 1.5 million.
Wow!
You know? So
did you make some good money from it?
Dude, I made some good money.
People don't realize it. I did a national commercial. They keep paying you every time they freaking show it. You know.
Dude, put it this way: I just got a phone call. What, Thursday? From my agency, saying they want to show one of the commercials I did, because I did a Kia car commercial. It was on the Super Bowl last year.
Wow, that's
they
a big
want to show it in. They want to show it in Russia.
Wow, what do you get paid for that? How much extra?
A lot.
Like what? How much?
A lot.
$10,000 more.
Close.
Yeah, no, I know. People don't realize these commercials, they pay. You do 2 seconds on TV. I did a satellite radio commercial, an XM satellite radio commercial with Howard Stern's future. It was his girlfriend at the time. And I got paid for like 2 years on that thing. They kept sending me checks. I was like, a kid in Christmas every time I came home. Yeah.
Dude, I got 13 checks at one time.
Tell me about it. So whoever told you not to do it, tell them to shove it up their ass.
Exactly right, man. And believe it or not, and for the a couple months ago, I got 2 more checks from the Planet Fitness commercial because they want to show it again all this year in New York and in L.A.
Wow. That's awesome, yeah. Jerome. Now, also, people don't realize now they pay also if they do it on YouTube. I hear you get a YouTube check, too.
You get a YouTube check. Dude, I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. And that's the reason this year, officially, because I made money in acting, but I've been doing it for a long time.
Right.
You know, but this year, I can officially say I'm an actor. SAG pays my insurance.
Oh, you got the benefits. Wow.
You know, that's the benefits, man. You know, I made some six-figure total, kind of, you know what I mean?
I did
really well. Right.
People don't realize if you work a certain amount of hours per year, they give you benefits. And the SAG benefits are also because they cover a lot of cosmetic procedures, too.
I'm an actor.
You are an actor. We're going to call you Jerome the Actor Ferguson now. Forget the Hollywood.
Jerome the Actor Ferguson. You know what I mean? Because it's almost like you win a lottery. You know what I mean? But you kind of work for it. I mean, it's like, dude, it's almost like free money. I mean,
you do it for free. That's why you like acting anyway.
I love acting, man. And it just, you know, I made a bunch of money. You know, like you know, you can go win an Olympia show. Hey, all you got to do is a couple commercials. You won an Olympia show.
Talk to me about some of these possible future roles. I mean, what are you looking to do? You said you originally thought about possibly, you know, dropping the weight and going for the more mainstream look, but now you're saying no, you're not doing that.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have to. You know, it kind of worked out in my favor, you know, because I believe not, I just shot a pilot with Jamie Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And for TBS. And I got a call from TBS, from Jamie Kennedy production, saying TBS, they love my work. And, they needed some more stuff to go along with it. And, it's looking a bright future.
What do you do what's your part opposite Jamie Kennedy there?
You know what, dude? I played, believe it or not, he played a Russian mobster guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was his heavy, I was his bodyguard.
Oh, cool.
And, we had a blonde, beautiful blonde Swedish, German, whatever she was, Russian girl.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. It was, they based it on the movie Parent Trap.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's based on that, man. And it turned out really, really good.
Now, will you be a recurring part in that series, or is it this just the pilot, one-time deal?
No, it's not a one-time deal. It's whenever they come up with some different things, they put me in there.
Oh, that's awesome. Phenomenal. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. That's bigger news than you possibly get on stage later this year.
Exactly.
Because you turned pro in 2010. We hadn't seen you you haven't competed yet. You haven't made your pro debut. Thinking about doing it this year?
You know what? Yes, I am. Probably around the summer. What I needed to, I wanted to bring my, first of all, the reason I took the time off, I was so tired of trying to get that pro card.
Right.
Dave, that was a journey. And a few times, I didn't think I was going to complete that journey, I leave that stage saying, I think it's time to just, say, hey, this is my destiny right here,
Yeah. No, it's
and, tough. And then something to kick back in, then I went at it again. And when I finally got it, I remember JM saying, hey, Drone, dude, are you excited? How you feel? Come on, I said, bro, I would have been excited 05, 06. 07, even 09, but right now I'm just relieved.
You looked almost quiet after you won. It was like a very peaceful time for you.
Yeah, it's like, I did it. And then after that, I was like, if I get my pro card, I can do anything I want.
Hmm.
And then that's when I said, okay, I'm focusing my energy on the TV. Got 3 commercials, did a tax sale commercial, did a body.com, tax commercial, then I did the Planet Fitness commercial, and then I did the Kia the Car commercial.
Right.
Same year.
And Louis Ferrigno gives you some advice. Is that true?
Yeah, Louis, I was at Gold's Gym, I was standing there. I was like, Louis, I was supposed to be doing this Planet Fitness commercial, he got me booked on it, but I'm like feeling kind of, I'm kind of torn, it's wrong. If you're an actor, go get paid. Go act. That's what you do.
Very good advice from Louis Ferrigno.
That's what you do. And let me tell you. Let me back up. So when I get there for the Planet City commercial, they wanted me to be the lap man. and knock things off the table.
Right.
So I'm like, I did it, and they made it, and then they was like, Jerome, They said, how do you feel about that? I said, well, you know what? I don't feel that. I'm just not feeling that. And what would you do? I was like, I'd do pow. My chest jump, And so again, pow. And I made my chest jump. They said, okay, hold on. And we went from there, and that's how it became.
So you made up you basically wrote the commercial, too.
I wrote that Power Bank commercial. I wrote it. They loved it afterward. They were clapping their hands. Everybody just like, we did it.
They should have paid you for extra money for writing the commercial, too.
For sure. Wrote that commercial. That wasn't a commercial they wrote. I put that one together, and he gave me a pen, and I pow! I'm in your face, I want to have a good time.
No, I know. I think you should start writing some commercials maybe for these products. You got good ideas, obviously.
Yeah, it's like, let's have some fun. Hey, man. Dude, I'm a big bodybuilder. No. Let's put a little flavor to it,
I love it. I love that commercial. If anyone out there gets a chance, go on YouTube and YouTube that commercial. It's really entertaining. I'll put it on the radio thread so that people can check it out. You've been, cool. Not only are you an actor, you've been training people for many years at Gold's Gym, over 15 from my recollection. Now, I always like the fact that you're real. You keep it real with your clients. You make it fun for them. I see you in the gym when you're training people when I go down there. And that's why we, Bill Comstock and I decided to start this little training series with you called Ferguson's Inferno. Almost like Dante's Inferno. Because you put these guys through hell, literally. I know you like that name. You love that name, right?
I love it, man. You can't fucking refer on me. I was like, yeah, baby, let's get this started, man. Yeah, you know what happened was, I'm a great bodybuilder, building the body, trainer, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, I can, you tell me what you want. I got so much love for people and the body, just the way that I changed mine, that I like to give back. And so I was like, you show me the body you want, and I give it to you. So when men's physique came in, I was like, me and Bill was shutting out. We were shooting a guy named Evan. He's from Australia.
Right.
And Bill said, Bill, everyone train with you. Everyone train with you. I was like, okay. But he wanted to train back with you. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, I'm not really bored, but I'm like, it's something that was eating me that I wanted to do something else. Because I had been doing plyos. You know, I've been training my other clients doing plyo between because no one liked to do cardio.
Right.
So my other clients, you know, they were getting stuck, wanting to lose no weight, so I was making them do plyos and stuff between each rep. You know, each set, you know, you do one set,
sure,
then you do plyos. So then I created, so I was like telling Bill, you know, after we train back, you know, after Bill. And then Evan loved the back workout.
Evan Godby, you're talking about. I remember that.
Yeah, Evan Godby. Yes, he loved the back workout so much, he wanted to train me again. You know? But he wanted to train legs. And he got a lower back issue. So I said, okay. I said, Bill, can I do this my way? You know what I mean? I got this new idea. I want to try it. I want to do it. You know? And Bill's like, okay, go ahead. And Bill loved it. Evan hated it and loved it. And that's where Inferno. And then you threw Ferguson Inferno in there, baby.
I've never seen anyone train like that. You just trained someone in the Inferno, James Newman. I saw him at the LA Fit Expo. The kid could barely walk. It's the most incredible routine. If anyone wants to see it, the video is up on the site right now. It's probably put up in the last couple of days. James Newman in Ferguson's Inferno is quite the video. This kid, you really tortured the hell out of him.
Dude, you know what, dude? I did. I really did. You know, and with him, it was like, okay, you know, I love this guy because he got this little edge to him, and he got this ego and this edge to him. Like, he can do anything, man. He just, in his brain, he just want to be pushed.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a military guy, that's why.
Military guy was like, just beat me up. You know, I'm like, because I tell him, I was like, dude, you know, I'm going to do some chest or something. He's like, well, my shoulder, he was like, okay, let's do legs. I was like, you sure you want to do legs? You know, and I just blazed him, man.
You did.
I created this crazy workout. And what I do, I know people. And when I'm training them, I get into them. You know what I mean? I get connected with them. So I know what they can do. I feel how far I can push them and when to push, when to light up, when to not. So
this guy went far.
He went far. He went far, man.
He would have gone to death. He would have gone to death if you would have pushed him there, probably.
He would have. No, he wasn't going to quit, man.
No.
He was done. He was done a long time ago. It was like, I should have threw the white towel in that boy and cut him off.
Yeah.
He was done, but he kept wanting to do it. And I looked at Bill. I did like, Bill, I'm going to cut him.
Well, listening to this wants to go in Ferguson's Inferno, you can contact me at huge285@AOL.com, my email, and submit your name. If you're going to be out in California, we'll see if we can if Jerome will take you on and torture you through a workout. But if people want to get in touch with you to train with you on a regular basis, Jerome, what's the best way to do that? Your website?
Yeah, they can go to my website. They can hit me JeromeHollywoodFerguson@yahoo.com. They can hit me Facebook, Jerome Ferguson, IMB Pro, you know, and just send me a message and come on down, babe. You know, and don't be afraid because it's not like I'm trying to kill you or hurt you. I'm just going to take you to your limits and maybe a little over your limit, just a little bit, to make you a better person when you're done hanging out with me.
That's right. That's right. And you can check him out at JeromeFerguson.com. Hopefully we'll see you on stage a little later this summer, Jerome. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And you got to keep us updated to what's going on in the acting field, because I have a feeling when you make it like Arnold, I want to make sure I get tickets to all your premieres. Okay.
Hey, I'm gonna take care of you. Something really big cooking, so let me some good energy out there. Much love to all you beautiful people, all you fans, which I call friends. Thank you guys for all the years of support, believing in me, and most of all, Dave, thank you for having me on and believing me as well, Dave.
Much love, Jerome. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, much love, babe. Talk to you later.
All right, that was Jerome Hollywood Ferguson, and couldn't meet a nicer guy. This is a guy who really has a love for what he does, for training people, for the sport itself, for life. And, you know, I like to talk to people like that. It puts me in a good mood. I was in Sedona, like I said earlier, to Chris for the whole weekend, or for the whole early part of the week. And I'm in a good mood, and I'm a bit all about positive energy. And I'm glad that Chris was able to, hold down the fort while I was gone, so to speak. And now that I'm back, and all is good in the world. Back to the sport of bodybuilding. And we got a lot of coverage coming up in the next couple weeks. The Flex Pro show is coming up. Following that, we have the Desert Muscle Classic, Stryker Solomon show, followed by the Arnold Classic. A week off, we got to cover the Australian Grand Prix. Aaron Jabaka Singerman will be out there for that. I will be at the St. Louis Pro, which will be followed on the Sunday after that show with a Bros vs. Pros. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up in the month of February and March. And that's all she wrote. So I'd like to thank Jerome Ferguson for stopping by. Till next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Dave Palumbo, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.